shut up. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Trade Paperbacks, part of the Ranger Ryan show experience.
The whole Ranger Ryan catalog extravaganza.
You know, I finally went through all of the episodes, so all 550 or whatever are available.
Oh, okay.
On this feed again. It took a while for me to schedule everything.
Back schedule
things. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. It's been a lot of time.
Scrolling through calendars.
I'm not going to tell you what the show's about because I don't do that anymore.
No.
But we are going to talk about...
One person requested that. If anyone else really wants us to do that, comment on the show. Give us some feedback. That's a possibility now. You can tell us, I want to know in the first 22 seconds exactly what you guys are going to be talking about.
Well, we're at 1 minute 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Number 75 of Green Arrow, the 75th issue special, which was unexpected. I thought it was pretty interesting. The ending was kind of sad.
A little bit.
Just so everybody, full disclosure, during the Hero Heads podcast era, before my kids were like older, we used to have a Halloween party every year. Annual Halloween party with multiple people. It was very large, very immature parties. Mm-hmm. And I was Green Arrow, and my wife dressed as Black Canary. It's very
nice.
So these characters mean a lot to me, obviously. All right, I don't even think I have a blank sheet, so we're just going to go by your score today.
Okay.
I literally have no blank sheets.
Are you willing to trust my score? You know what happened.
You know what?
The last.
You know, I'm not going to fudge you. I'm not going to fudge you. Your take. The whole point of this is
my take on it
in an outside perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's good to have somebody who dressed as the characters in this to judge. To
necessarily judge.
There's a conflict.
It's like no. You should like you're like I don't want to just rag on it that hard.
Yeah. There's
a conflict. We'll just go by the clueless dolt.
There's a conflict of interest and. Yeah, I think it's best if I just stay out of it.
Fair enough.
All right, go ahead with the score.
So, on dialogue and script, I actually gave it a 6. I didn't think it was, like, outstanding, but I thought it was pretty solid. It got by. Kind of a disappointment for a 75th issue. Dialogue and script, it probably should have been better. However, some of the other things in here I was more happy with.
What do you think? Third grade reading level?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. Even though the content is...
A bit more aggressive, yeah. I wouldn't say it's rated R, but like it's, you know, it's about PG-13, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, it depends. I'd give it PG-13.
Yeah. So I gave it a 6 on that. On cover design and artwork, okay, the cover, genuinely kind of mediocre in my opinion. But the artwork in the issue, I really liked. What? You're running comparisons, sorry.
No, you liked last episode's cover, and I still have it here, and it's quite underwhelming compared to this. But
yeah.
I mean, even the border is made of arrows.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, keep in mind, I'm mostly basing my experience on reading the issue. So, like, there's so much more in the issue itself, and a lot of it I really liked. A lot of the artwork that's inside of there. So... I gave it an 8. Now, on the plot and the story, I dropped back down to a 7, which, you know, again, that's a bit of a weak show for a 75th anniversary special.
Hmm.
But that's still pretty high. A 7 is a pretty high score.
I agree.
So, and I gave it that score because I still don't know what Green Arrow is. I don't know what the whole universe is all about. But I was kind of intrigued the whole way through. And I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm interested. So that's kind of what you want to have happen in these things. Now, character development, once again, I don't know who these people are, but I was actually kind of grabbed by the circumstances that they find themselves in. I was intrigued by like who these people are. I definitely would be more interested in reading more of these, which is going to play into the next score as well. I gave that a 7 as well. And actually, I gave the what I recommend a 7. As well. So, like, just ended up being a whole bunch of 7s after this. So, like, a little bit weak on
but
dialogue
that three
and
killed
script.
It. That 3 killed it.
No, the 3, that you're looking at a different score. I gave it a 6 on dialogue and script.
Oh, what's the 3?
That is for the previous thing that we recorded last time. So, no, this overall, my overall score was a 7.0. I was actually kind of grabbed
by
this.
Oh, that's pretty high.
I enjoyed it. And I also liked, if you notice, like, it's not overly detailed. So, like, this I really liked where you have, like, this ninja character or whatever. I liked the fact that, like, she's supposed to blend in with the darkness, so you don't draw a lot of detail on her.
Hmm.
You just give kind of like a silhouette.
Yeah, it's matte.
And a couple
almost,
of
yeah,
things,
yeah,
you know? So it's
for
like,
her, you know, she's got, there's detail.
There is more detail on her, yeah. So, like, they could have. And even with, like, Green Arrow here, you see, like, he's got, like, the shadows and contours and things like that on his body.
Hmm.
Whereas some of the characters who are, like, trying to blend in, genuinely trying to blend in, like, they just, you can't see them for the most part. You see an outline, and that's it. So, like, I liked it. I like the coloring in here. I liked just the balance of light and dark in a lot of these, a lot of the cells and a lot of the pages. So, once again, though, I don't know these characters, so I have no idea what kind of representation of these characters it is.
That's true. Well, I mean, that's kind of the whole point, you know? I would like to get a noob perspective, and I think that a 7 is a pretty solid score.
Yeah.
If you could, for the audience, give them a rundown of the story, and I'm going to go to the restroom, because I'm not really here today. I'm just like, you know, around.
Yeah.
Been having a lot of mic issues, and I'm just stressed out.
Struggling.
All right, give us a rundown.
So, it seems that Green Arrow is at a New Year's celebration. And I, you know, not knowing anything about this, I was like, I don't know, is this like a medieval thing? But no, it's not a medieval thing. He's a different character. I'm assuming Ryan is going to say, oh my gosh, and he's going to have to lecture me about that. But that's fine. That's what I'm here for. Being lectured at. You know, like I said, clueless dolt. That's my role in the show. So anyway, there appears, like, you know, a serious threat out of nowhere. And there's, like, a romantic interest that's created, or not created, but, like, established early on in the comic book. As a new reader, I don't know anything about these characters. I don't know who they are. But, like, there's enough of the romance provided right away that you get, like, a little bit of the strain between Green Arrow and this female character who's like, oh, I know that, like, we can't really be together, but I would love if we had that aspect of our relationship. And then suddenly, like, there's this threat and he's being attacked. And then there's other people who are coming in like, no, I thought they were going to attack you. And I'm, you know, trying to stop them as well. And so, like, there's real fights going on. And they don't talk a lot during the fights. That helps a ton. So, Green Arrow gets, you know, hit with an arrow in the back. It's interesting that in this world, you know, all of the people who are involved in this kind of fighting, they have no interest in using firearms. It's all, you know, bows and arrows. I guess because you don't have to worry about just how loud is the silencer. That's one critique I would have with something like this, but it was done well enough that I just wasn't bothered by it. So then Green Arrow is, like, recovering, and then they're going to, like, try to stop the people who are after him, I guess. And then, like, they find out that it's this one organization, and actually it turns out it's his son, which I was like, it's like, that's, like, huge. Like, that's a cool thing to have in a 75th anniversary issue. That it turns out it's his son who shot him with an arrow and tried to kill him. And then, like, they, you know, he's apparently brainwashed by an organization to kill him. And they use, like, some aspects of his father not being around because he was out there fighting evil or whatever. They use that aspect to help brainwash his son against him. And I was like, that's a really good way of going about it. You kind of have, like, this, you know, this failure of the father-son dynamic. And so he's just like, okay, I get it. I get it. I understand why you're upset with me. If you actually want to kill me, do it. And he, like, literally just stands there and gives him the opportunity, gives him the bow and arrow. And his son, like, breaks through the brainwashing and realizes, no, I had problems with this man. I had problems with my father, but we're going to get through it. We're going to figure this out, and we're going to work our way past it. And then you have, like, a takedown of the person who, like, orchestrated this whole thing, essentially. And then he tries to take a hostage, which was a bit, like, 90s kitsch, but, you know, then he gets killed, and then it's clear that, like, Green Arrow, he's, like, an old man, and he can't be the young man anymore. And so, like, there's just a lot of genuine conflict. And that's why I scored it so high. It's because, like, I was actually gripped the whole way through. I was actually, I thought it was, like, an impactful thing to read. So that's my take on it. This is from 93, too. So
yeah,
it's actually kind of impressive from my perspective. So I don't know. I could be off base. Ryan, what did you think? Did you reread this?
I did. I did reread it for the show. And yeah, there was a lot of things I forgot. Green Arrow to me is... I've always enjoyed Green Arrow comics. I like his attitude towards things.
Yeah.
He has had some difficult times, and the ending where Black Canary is, you know, explains that they can't be together because he's split into too many different, you know, ways, right?
Mm. Yeah. That's what it was, yeah.
One woman has a piece of his heart, which we saw him kiss on New Year's, which was devastating to her.
Yeah.
We saw, because that was her in the hair, she had a black wig on.
Oh, okay.
Short hair.
That was her. Okay. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, obviously he has a son with another woman that takes a part of him as well. And he's not good at any of them. He's not,
like, he can't manage it. Yeah.
And he never has been able to.
And that's part of why his son was, like,
right,
so easily manipulated against him.
Because he's not there.
Yeah.
He's not present in any of the relationships that he made a commitment to have. And it was, I think it's actually a very powerful little story, especially for a single issue.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of like a Cat's in the Cradle
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought that's why I was kind of grabbed by it so far. Another thing that really worked for me, I don't know why I gave the dialogue. Maybe it's because there wasn't anything in the dialogue that really stood out to me as like epic writing.
Yeah.
But like the dialogue is very minimal in this. Like, even outside of combat, there just wasn't that much that you were asked to read. Because a lot of these comic books that we've been covering, they ask you to read a ton. And I get it, because this is where everything comes from. And I'm a reader. I read books. It's just words. So you would think I wouldn't be so opposed to that. But it's like, to have a comic book that like gives you genuinely good art and doesn't ask you to read so many things so that I can set things up, but it's because you couldn't actually boil it down to such a degree that you didn't overpower your art. That's what I get out of a lot of Marvel comics.
Hmm.
So you got like these 82 word cells where, you know, the protagonist will say 43 words and the antagonist will say 29. And that doesn't add up to 83, but whatever. You end up with like these cells that are just crowded. It's like, okay, just write a book. Just write a book. You're not writing a comic book. Like, you need to be able to boil these things down to showcase your art. The art should be telling most of the story. The dialogue should be there to give you some context and to give you some perspective. But, like, if you're relying on that solely, then the art is just overwhelmed. Like, and that's what I get. This was so much better because if you look at it page for page, like, there's a couple of pages where there's a lot of dialogue. But most of the pages, like, there's just not that much.
Hmm.
Like, each of the lines is, like, very short lines for these people. And but they're still expressing everything they need to express, and that's why it's gripping. Because I'm enjoying the art, and I'm enjoying the characters as they're saying the things. Because I'm not like, okay, now I've got to get through this cell and read this, you know? So that's how I felt about it. Now that I'm looking at it, the cover is a bit weird and a little weak. I don't know. That's my perspective. But I thought the art throughout it was actually pretty well done. The varying perspectives you get from things. And then, like, you get, like, these flashes of red almost in the combat. I don't know. It's a very expressive comic book in many ways. Here's another example. You've got this character. I don't remember who these characters are. But you've got this character. He is almost, like, you can't see any details on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I was like, man, that's really cool. Like, they had to balance that with the printer,
yeah.
You know, because like, if you go too dark, I know this as somebody who's actually like spent money trying to get covers to look just right. If you go too dark, then everything's gone. And he literally is just a silhouette, but you want just enough of a hint that like, you can tell there's some stuff there, but it's all in the shadows. So Yeah. What did you think, Ryan?
Well, like I said, in my synopsis, especially with the ending, it's a very powerful story. It's not, you know, I would say the Longbow Hunters would be a better Green Arrow story to read. But, you know, it's grab bag month.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And I actually was rather pleased. I was rather pleased with how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, to me, it was a win.
It was a win. Yeah, no, I definitely thought it was a win. I did enjoy this comic book. And actually, being that it's a 75th anniversary issue, or just 75th issue, right? Yeah, yeah. 75th issue. It's not an anniversary issue.
No.
It's thicker than most. And when I first picked it up, I was like, okay, here we go. It's like thicker comic book. But then, like, I don't know, within like three or four pages, I was like, I don't know, I'm interested. And it never really let go.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind to it. We could talk about the ads, though, because this is another thing going back to 93. On the inside cover, you've got the ad for Zatanna.
Zatanna.
Let's see what else we have. That was a pretty good ad, kind of black and white. Do they save money that way? Or was the comic also in black and white?
It was probably in black and white.
Okay. And then we have Nightfall, which I'm guessing you know some about.
Story arc, yeah.
Yeah. Was that important?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of story arcs that the masses love.
Yeah.
That I'm just not that into.
So it's not that big a deal. I mean, it looks like a serious thing. It looks like Batman's got his face burning with acid or something. He's beating the heck out of Joker. So
right. I mean, it's important, but
yeah,
they do these things like Batman, like Nightfall and Batman RIP and all these different things.
Yeah.
That are cool and like, you know, like events, right?
Yeah.
In my head, I'm just kind of like with, what was the She-Hulk one we did where everybody dies? Like
yeah.
That was an event.
Yeah.
The end just like,
or something like that.
Yeah, the end. I was just like, meh. Okay. I'll just wait till it's over.
Yeah. Now, I did notice this in the ad. I don't know if I noticed this when I was going through the comic book, but you in the sky, you've got a different bat symbol than it's on his.
Oh, so this thing is, yeah, this like eclipse, it gets more and more each episode,
each
issue. Yeah.
But the actual bat itself, the design of the bat is different than.
Yeah, there are a few runs where there's some where Batman's ears are like, you know, like a foot tall.
Yeah. Okay,
you know, there's all these different. It's just a style choice.
Actually, now that I think about it in this, yeah, his ears are a foot tall in this.
Yeah, this is Nightfall.
This is one.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting. So, anyway, yeah.
There's a lot of style choices with Nightfall that is probably one of the reasons I don't really care for it.
Merely the stylistic stuff. That's the thing about this format is, like, there are so many aspects to it. With writing, it's like, you have to be able to, like, the words have to flow. The thing has to be readable from, like, if you just read it out loud, it should flow.
Hmm.
It should not, like, make you stutter. And different writing will do that. But with this, it's the art, it's the feel of the comic book, it's the pace of the comic book, it's the wording, it's everything. You know, it's the ink, it's just everything. So then further on in the comic book, we have, what is this, another Batman thing? Bloodlines Outbreak?
Yep. Another story arc that...
New heroes, new villains, new blood.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and who's this guy here? It's like...
I don't know, Booster Gold.
Booster Gold, yeah. I don't know. There's like some sort of like mechanical dragon. I don't know, man. That does not...
But anyway, so far the ads are just promoting itself, like their own company.
Just
so.
DC stuff. We're getting through here.
I don't even think there... Was there? I didn't notice a lot of ads.
No, I don't think there's that many ads, honestly. I think there is... Yeah, there's...
Yeah, for the Spectre.
For Spectre here. Glow-in-the-dark cover issue number 8.
I love Spectre, but...
Eh. Pray for the Dead, P-R-E-Y.
So, yes, Pray for the Dead.
Yeah, I feel like there were a couple more.
I don't think so, dude.
Well, there's obviously the one on the back. And then there's two ads here. Reign of the Supermen is upon us. Superman, the Man of Steel, number 23.
You know, I thought about reading that with you.
Yeah?
I haven't.
It may come up.
It might.
And then this kind of Neil Gaiman thing. A Game of You. It kind of looks like The Crow, almost.
No.
So, a Dreaming Game,
like
an Identity Game. I'm not going to read that. A Dangerous Game. And then on the back page, we have... Or the back cover. Not the back cover, but the inside of the back cover. We got Chain Gang War. And none of these characters... They're all in masks. They don't have faces. They're all shooting.
Okay.
Except for the one character who's aiming his gun up for some reason. That helps, I guess. And then this character's aiming, like, clearly a superior weapon down and just shooting with an inferior weapon. I don't know, man. And then on the very back page, we've got Why Lynx Great Sports. I guess this is like the Lynx handheld Atari game system. And then they got like a whole bunch of, they got a hockey game, a football game, baseball heroes, and then world class soccer, foosball soccer. I don't know.
Never had one.
Never had a Lynx.
Uninterested.
In fact, I got to be perfectly honest. I don't think the Lynx, I don't think I knew it existed.
Yeah, until right now.
No, not until right now. Until I saw somebody on YouTube, like, there used to be a channel I would follow, like a retro gaming channel. Just because he would have more than just gaming. He would have, like, interesting pieces of equipment from way back in the day. Oh, look at this thing, what it did. And, like, just weird stuff. And you never would think that people had made things like that. And he collects it and does reviews of things like that, just to, like, show you what it was. Hmm. And I think he covered the Atari Lynx. I was like, what the heck is that? I've never heard of that. I thought Atari died, like, in the 80s. But
apparently not. Well, it's good to know.
Anyway.
Maybe so I'll find one.
I gave this issue a 7.0. Makes me wonder what I would think of some of the other Green Arrow stuff. If
Green Arrow's solid.
That comes out.
I mean, I gave you an introduction to the character in Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he had one arm, correct?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's actually probably one of the best supporting characters.
Okay.
But I always liked his standalone stuff. So
yeah,
Green Arrow is. I mean, I dressed up as the man, so obviously there's a connection.
Clearly, you honored clearly the man with.
I actually bought a bow and arrow, and then I showed my daughter. This is well after the Halloween party, and I sent it right through her little playground equipment, the awning.
Wow,
yeah, it's pretty bad. It was a clear shot, clean shot. Through and through.
Well, I mean, okay, so one of the questions I had, because I don't know anything about this universe or these characters, does the fact that it's a Green Arrow, does that mean, like, there are other...
No.
Okay. So it's just that, like, he likes to dress in green.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, like, originally, like, I guess like, you could read some Hood comics, but, yeah, the whole thing is, you know, ironically, he dresses up as Robin Hood at the costume party.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because obviously that's a lot of the inspiration for the character's physical appearance anyway.
Yeah.
So, the Green Arrow thing, I mean, there was a point where characters are being created,
mm-hmm.
And they put an adjective in there. You know what I mean? Like, in the beginning we had Superman, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Superman. And then later down the line, we see things like Batman and Iron Man and Captain America.
And Spider-Man.
But then there was a color point where we were making Green Lantern and Green Arrow and Black Manta and Blue Beetle and just kind of doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
So we kind of get to this point where everything was color related for some reason. And you just stick with it. That's why when the TV show came out called Arrow... He was known as the Hood in the beginning.
Okay.
Eventually became known as the Arrow.
Okay.
And finally, leaving a green arrow at the scene of a crime was called Green Arrow. Mm. So
it became his calling card.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I kind of like that because that makes more sense than just everybody just calls this guy Green Arrow and it's never explained why.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's... but if you think about it, for some reason, I don't know why, but it's a cool name.
It kind of is, yeah.
But you also have Black Canary, who is his wife in future comics.
Yeah.
And again, just kind of the color thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think one of the
Black things... Adam.
Yeah.
How far do we need to go down this rabbit hole?
I think one of the things... it's like if Batman was made in the wrong era, he'd be like Blue Batman or something
like that. I'm not joking.
Or Gray Batman.
Gray Batman. Like
they did the gray suit.
Because I mean, you think about it, like, especially when the Hulk universe expanded, where you had, you know, Hulk, then you had Red Hulk, then you had Gray Hulk, and like all these things, and all this just blew up. But with Spider-Man, they just kind of changed the gender, right? So we've had Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl.
Yeah. Well, they did that with Superman, Spider-Pig, too, you know?
Spider-Pig is a real thing. So it just kind of, you know. They did do that with Superman as well.
I think like they did that with Superman first,
Someday I'll have to show you Blue Superman.
Blue Super. Okay, this is a new one on me. It seems like an alternate universe thing, kind of like Spock's beard sort of thing.
Oh, Spock's beard.
But like, one of the things I liked about this issue, and I don't know if they do this with all like the Green Arrow things, is he's an older person. Whereas like so many of these superheroes, you know, even Batman, Iron Man, Batman's all like maximal like 32, 35, something like that.
No. You're right though. He is a man.
Yeah.
He is a man.
Like he's got an adult son.
He's not a young man.
Yeah.
He's a man. And I, you know, they try to actually keep it similar. So during this time period, most likely there was a Batman run where he was also older. There was any kind of crossovers.
Yeah.
Because they've always kept them around the same ages. Mm. Superman, it's different because he doesn't age like humans.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, even if he is 60, he probably still looks 30, 40. So it's just different. But yeah, you're right. It is unique to see a character with a son that has grown as opposed to a ward, whatever that is. So
usually it seems to me like they like to do like time things. Oh, like he went forward in time and saw what his life is going to be in the future and then had to fix it. Because his son's a jerk or whatever, you know. Or Biff took over.
Hate when that happens. It is. I can see how that's kind of like a new take for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened with the one Batman graphic novel we did. Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was an older man. And I really liked that aspect of it. You did warn me of it, but like, I didn't know that he was just going to be an older character in here. And it was like, oh, okay, like this. And they actually wrote differently for him than you would write for a younger character, too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's vulnerable in this because, you know, he's also an old man, so to speak. So, I don't know. I just enjoyed it through and through.
Yeah. That was a really good book. It's a great one. We definitely, I know your recommend score was what? Seven.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty solid. I would probably recommend it a little bit higher. But it's not necessarily a great intro to Green Arrow,
because,
I mean, he is obviously a well-established character with well-established relationships at this point, but it's still a solid Green Arrow issue.
To be fair, for a 75th issue to be this strong, that's pretty good.
Hmm.
That speaks highly, because you would think by 75 issues, like, you're tapped out, man. You're like, you're seven changes over from the original writer.
Yeah, but instead they decided to break him. Yeah, the 75th issue. By people he loves.
Just like,
I can't do this anymore. Do his son hates him. His girlfriend at the time hates him. There is a lady who loves him, but he's never really had feelings for her like that.
Yeah.
So that's awkward. There's nothing positive.
Yeah.
That's 75 issue.
It's like, where do you go from here? It's all downhill.
Still a good story. All right. Till next time.
We'll see you.